Let's welcome back everybody to Around the Association. This year, Kevin Lucco joins me on the show. Kevin, a longtime fan of, first of all, the Northern League and now the American Association, so knows a great deal about the league. Kevin, first of all, going to start with the St. Paul Saints. A great season coming up here. Two back-to-back championships here in the Northern Division. What are you looking for out of this team this year?
Well, I guess I'm looking for the same thing George Samus is, and that's a championship. And I know that anything less than that is not going to sit well with him. So, roster looks good, but, you know, it's May 18th right now. That lock can change between now and September. So, but, you know, I like the chances. Like I said, on paper it looks good, but we'll see what happens.
The 25th year of the team there for the season, did you ever imagine there would be a point that this league was going to survive 25 years?
Well, you know, we always knew the Saints were solid. It was just kind of the cast around it that we have always been a little concerned about. Teams like, you know, for the teams that were with the original Northern League, it's the Saints and then Sioux Falls Canaries and the Sioux City Explorers. And sometimes with those two clubs, you just kind of wondered how long are they going to hold out. But, you know, here we are in 2017 and the Canaries and Explorers are still around. So, good to see you.
Talking about the team on the field this season, we're not going to have an Angelo Sanko this year. Ryan Rodabaugh retires. As a really new-look team in a lot of ways, is that a good blend, or do you think that there's some holes that you're seeing right off?
You know, there was a guy that won some, was a player procurement guy for the Saints, Van Schley, and his thing was he always believed in roster turnover. Never get too comfortable where you're at, and I think that could be a good thing for the Saints. Sure, you lost an Angelo Sanko, but you have a Brady Shoemaker coming in. Yes, you lost Alonzo Harris, but you have a Tim Colwell coming in. And you got Anthony Gallus coming in. Gallus can make up for Harris's power. Colwell can run some bases and hit for average. So I'm not too concerned about the losses. Take nothing away from Sanko and Harris. They're both great players. But, you know, times change, and change is good.
The one thing I'm really excited about the Saints this year is I think this pitching staff has, the starting rotation in particular, has as good a chance as being as good as the team that was 2 years ago. Is that the way that you see it?
You know, that's the way I saw it until about a week ago. But, you know, once Kramer Sneed is back, once Robert Cole is back, as I've described it, you're looking at four aces between those two, Mark Hamburger and John Straka. Eric Fagelin's question mark. He pitched very well, but this will be his first full year with the Saints, and we'll see how the American Association starts to get a read on the guy. You know, you were talking about Ryan Rodabaugh earlier. I guess we should also talk about the bullpen. And a lot of new arms out there, but two of them that are back are Benji Wade. Benji threw a lot of quality innings for the Saints last year, and lefty Corey Williams filled a void last year when they needed a starter, pitch admirably, but he's also a good, strong lefty out of the pen. And Seth Rosen will be your closer. Yeah, from what I've seen so far of him this spring in the exhibition games, just a very strong power arm. And I think he'll be a very good closer in this league. And maybe a guy that's going to maybe get some major league attention.
I really liked Benji Wade last year. I thought he really filled that kind of Mike Suzalek role really well.
I thought Benji was, he was one of those guys where when you asked him to go, he'd go. And sometimes he might not have his best stuff, but he battled out there. He had some ugly games, but, you know, sometimes in those games, you're coming in, you're down 4-0. If you eat up like 3 or 4 innings, okay, you're not going to win the game today, but you just saved your pen for the next game. And that's what I thought Benji was also very good at.
Before we get into specific teams in the league, a lot of changes happened in the American Association this year. We've got two new teams, both in Salina and Cleburne. What are you kind of looking for out of that?
Oh, boy. Cleburne, I really think there is a chance they could be competitive considering the division they're in. And looking at their roster, they do have guys that they have picked up from other teams. Nick Van Stratton is on their roster. And, you know, there were some good players in Joplin that came down with them. So they could be all right. And maybe a new ballpark, a fresh start, so to speak, will be a good thing for them. Salina, oh boy. I was just looking at that earlier, 17 rookies on the team. One player that was an LS3 and nobody higher than that. So I hate to say it, it's one of those phrases we used to use when it came to road teams and leagues. They could be roadkill.
A lot of people are speculating on the number of wins they're going to have this season. I'm going with 12. But what number are you throwing out there?
You know, I'm the eternal optimist. I'm going to say 18.
That's a good fair number. I think everybody in the league is excited about the three worst ballparks are gone. So people don't have to make the long trip to Laredo, which was a pretty good feel, but long trip to get there. Joplin's ballpark was really kind of a shambles, and Amarillo was really a stretch. So that has to be a great part of the league this year.
I think so. That's a big part of having a solid league. It's not just having solid teams, but having solid facilities to play in. You know, if you're a player and you're playing half your games in a place such as where we're at right now at CHS Field, and then all of a sudden you're going to Potter County Stadium and there's potholes on the field, and poor Sean Aronson, he had a broadcast through chicken wire in the press box, and they've had games canceled down there last year because frankly the field wasn't playable. So it's got to be a culture shock for the players when they had to play down there. But yes, now having the ballpark in Cleburne, with Rosemont coming in next year, just two more really good facilities for the league, and it just makes the league and all the teams that much better.
The one thing I find really interesting for this season is, you know, I think the knock on independent baseball is it's kind of a beer league kind of idea that comes out. But if you look at the managers that are going to be in this league this year, 10, 11 guys that could be managing anywhere at any level maybe besides major league. What are you thinking about the quality of managers this year?
It definitely has taken a step up. I guess we'll see what happens in Cleburne and Salina. Billy Martin Jr. hasn't managed a team before. He's been a longtime player agent. But he'll also have Pete Incaviglia as a bench coach, and I'm sure Pete will be in his ear quite a bit, kind of leading him through the league. And Incaviglia has won a title with Laredo, and he's won a title with Grand Prairie in 09. So if you're going to be a rookie manager, Incaviglia is a good guy to have by your side. Mike Meyer in Sioux Falls, same thing. He was a pitching coach under Incaviglia in Laredo. He won a title as a pitching coach under Steve Shirley in Sioux Falls. And he pitched a couple years for the Saints, where I'm sure he probably picked up some stuff from George Samus, so I think that was a good sign for the Canaries.
Well, let's go around individual teams. Starting in the North Division, let's first of all talk about Winnipeg. What are you expecting out of the champs this season?
Well, you know, as a philosopher, Ric Flair would say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And right now, the men are the Goldeyes. You've got three other five guys from the rotation back with Edwin Caro, Kevin McGovern, and Mikey O'Brien. Victor Capion from the Joplin fire sale is back as their closer. So three good starters and a stopper in the pen, that's a good start. David Bergen, who was first baseman here, signed with them. Wes Darvall and Cassio Grider are both back. And in the outfield, you got Abercrombie, David Rome, and Josh Romanski back. So that's 10 guys back from the championship team. So, tell you what, they're the team to beat until someone does it.
I watched them Tuesday night in Wichita and saw them hit four home runs in the first three innings of the game. So there's some pop in that lineup. Well, let's talk about their pitching staff. That really came together late in the season for them and helped them to earn a championship. Do you see that rotation being able to provide that kind of support again this year?
Well, you know, it goes back to what we were saying. You know, on paper, it looks good. They released Duke Von Schaman, someone that was, I'd say, probably like a third or fourth starter for them last year. So that tells me that the guys they brought in are probably just as good as him, if not better. looking here, you got two veterans coming in with Zach Newton and Ryan Chaffee, so I think they'll be all right.
Fargo Moorhead was in the hunt until the last weekend of the season. Kind of a surprise team. Do you see them as a surprise team this year?
I see this team contending. Any team with Doug Zimnick in the dugout is always going to battle you for nine innings. He had a couple rough years up there, but I really liked what I saw out of them the last part of last season, and they are bringing back a lot of the cast, and they just suffered a big loss. Corey De La Cruz got signed by Seattle today, but they are bringing back Ryan Pineda, I've been told. But they're bringing back two really good starters. Tyler Alexander was incredible for them last year. I was in Fargo when he struck out 15 Saints in a complete game effort. Jose Almirante was a guy that gave St. Paul trouble last year. He's a big veteran arm in their bullpen. And their closer is going to be Jose Navarre, he could get up, what did we see, like 95, 96 last year?
I believe so.
When he was pitching here for Labrador. And that was a weakness for the Red Hawks last year. They could not close games out. On offense, they are bringing back Josh Mazzola for his second year in Fargo. Who knows how many years in the league. It seems like he's been around forever. Two of the big bats in the outfield, Cass Carter and Katie Kong, are back. And Charlie Valerio will be behind the plate again. So that's a good nucleus to build around. And like I said, any team with Doug Zimnick managing, they're going to battle you.
Sioux Falls is the interesting team in this division for me because Mike Myers got a championship as the pitching coach in Laredo a couple years ago and has another one with Sioux Falls before. And this is a team that I think really could do something because of his expertise.
Yeah, you know, you look at Sioux Falls, and despite the record last year, they were another team that if you took a night off against them, you're going to pay dearly. Joe Bercher is back with them. He was a solid pitcher for them last year. And as far as guys at Laredo had to release, Jeff Inman and Troy Marks, both were signed recently by the Canaries. Two guys I'm sure Meyer was really familiar with. Our old friend Aaron Gretz looked like he's in the mix to be, I'm guessing he'll probably be the starting catcher for them, which will be good. He didn't really get a chance to be full-time. I know he was a favorite of yours last year. In the infield, Chris Jacobs is a solid independent player and always had power. Blake Schmidt was a nice surprise for them last year. Sole representative in the All-Star game. And then they're bringing in Burt Reynolds, who was like the first half phenom last year, but then really tailed off after he got traded to Laredo. So in that ballpark, if you got some bats that can hit the ball at the park, it's a very, very hitter-friendly ballpark. So Reynolds, if he can find his first half of last year for him, watch out for him. He could put up some huge numbers.
I would think that'd be a real benefit for the team for sure. Moving on to the Central Division, Sioux City, I know even some of the players were telling me at the All-Star break last season that they were thinking that, you know, they were an also-ran at that point. Then they come back to win the division. Can this team somehow pull it out again this year?
I think so. I think a lot of Steve Montgomery, just like I do with Doug Zimnick, he's just the kind of manager that's never going to quit. And if you're playing for him, you better be on your game or he'll find someone that can be on the game for you. So I think they're a good, solid ball club. They're returning five of their position players from last year, and it looks like three or four are their pitchers. So we'll see what happens. They had a really good year 2 years ago, and the guys that they thought were going to be good in 2016, and some of them didn't pan out, like a Patrick Johnson, a couple other guys. So, yeah, I think as long as you got Steve Montgomery at the helm, Sioux City's going to be in the middle of it.
Kansas City adds a new manager this season. They've made some bold moves so far, and what I really like about them is the pitching staff.
You know, I forgot to bring up Joe Calipietra when we were talking about new managers. He was a guy that replaced George Samus in New Jersey when George came to St. Paul and was there ever since. So the guy is definitely not a stranger to independent baseball. You know, the thing that George had here in his first couple of years that Cal Pietro will have now is a keen knowledge of all the players in the Can-Am League. Where he's going to be able to bring in guys that he's either played against or had on his team that other teams may not notice. So I would watch out for that with the T-Bones, because I look at their roster now and there's not a lot of familiar names, but don't be surprised if they're in the mix, because I think that's a nice pipeline for Calipietra to have.
Lincoln looked like the team that was going to win the Central last year until Sioux City made the big turnaround at the end there. What kind of impact do you see this team having?
Well, you know, you look at the roster, there's a lot of turnover. I guess the only name that really sticks out to me is Kurt Smith coming back. And if hardcore independent fans can remember, Kurt Smith is actually playing in the World Baseball Classic. I forget what country. Do you remember what country?
Netherlands, yeah.
Netherlands, okay. Yeah, it just looks like a lot of new bodies. Bobby Brown might have his hands full trying to make a contender out of this, but like you said, they really kind of collapsed after the last part of the season, and I think when you see something like that, you got to kind of mix it up and get some new bodies in and see what you got.
I think when the season began last year, everybody who looked at the Gary roster thought, this team's going to lose 75 games for sure. But Greg Taggart did an unbelievable job with, a 17-rookie roster that he had there. Almost won the division there. Is this, because of so many of those guys are back this season, is this the team to beat in the Central?
You know, if there's ever such a thing as a cult in baseball, I think it's the Gary South Shore Railcats. I was listening to Facebook Live earlier today, and J.W. Cox in there was saying, Taggart sends an agenda to all the players coming back, telling them what they need to work on, and whatever they need to do to come into spring training ready. And he just plays a style of baseball that just annoys the heck out of other teams. But when you play in a ballpark as spacious as a Steelyard, you gotta have guys that can play small ball, bunt guys over, sacrifice flies. You gotta have guys that buy into the system. Well, a lot of times with rookies, they just wanna play. They'll play however you want to, as long as they have a jersey to put on every day. And I think with Taggart, he knows that, and that's the kind of guys he goes for.
Heading into the South this season, Wichita looks like the team to beat. A lot of people are predicting they're going to win as many as 80 games this year. I look at the fact that the pitching staff has a lot of turnover to it, but the starting everyday lineup, 7 or 8 of those guys are going to return back. Is this team an 80-win team?
I joke with people. I said if the Wing Nuts don't win 80 games, Pete Rose Jr. should be fired. But, you know, the part with that is a lot of times if you get a team in a really weak division like that, and they're playing teams within the division all the time, and you get them to September, all of a sudden you're playing another division winner, a lot of times their team can't ramp the game up to get to that level, and that's when they're going to get snuck up on. So, yeah, I see them cruising through the division, but playoffs aren't going to be a sure deal, so it's going to be up to Rose Jr. to kind of keep the guys interested.
Well, let's talk about the other three teams in that division. Two new teams, and Texas, which has had a huge turnover, not only on the field, but off the field. Are any of these teams able to compete with Wichita?
I really don't see it with Texas. And you look at the roster, the only, you know, I was kind of noting guys that are familiar, and they get Dennis Phipps, which when Laredo was dissolved, every fan out there that knew Laredo, all were asking, where's Phipps going? Can we get Phipps? So I think Phipps will put up some big numbers down there, but that's just not going to make up for a relatively inexperienced ball club that frankly hasn't had a lot of success in the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Anything new you want to bring out at your expectations about the league this year, or something that you just want to talk symbolically about for the 2017 American Association?
You know, I just want to see a good, solid season. I like to see all the teams do well at the gate, not have to hear anything about who might be folding at the end of the year. Because, like I said, the league's is only as strong as its members are. So that's all I'm really hoping for, is just a good solid season. Obviously, Selena will be a one-year deal. And you'll have Rosemont in next year and brand new ballpark. They'll get some good players in there. And it'll be a good solid league again. I think the key is just to get Texas teams seem to be the teams that are kind of, I don't want to say put a black eye on the league, but are kind of bringing it down a little bit. So I'd just like to see a stable league where all the teams are doing well and we don't have to worry, okay, who's going to replace this team if they leave. And like I said, that's just a trademark of a good league.
Well, thanks for joining me this week.
Thanks for having me.
Kevin will be joining me next Saturday when we're around the association again. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
My pleasure.